Good morning, everyone. Such a privilege to be able to share with you guys, and just on this Good Friday, and it really, really is a Good Friday, and it's no surprise why we are here this morning. It's not a secret why we gather. It's not a secret why we are sitting here, because we're sitting here because of the obedience of one man, because of the death of one man on a cross. And I want to jump straight in. And for those who have their Bibles with them, if you can open in the book of John from verse 1. John chapter 1, sorry. From verse 26. And we'll read from verse 26. And it says, John answered them, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. Even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. And the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. And for those taking notes this morning, if I had to put a title to this morning I would say, Behold, the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. And these were the famous words of John the Baptist when he first encountered Jesus. The first words, he said, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And this morning, people from across the globe will gather in their numbers. For some, it will be a day of remembrance. For others, it will be maybe the only time they go to church a year. For some, it will be a religious act with which they follow through with every year. For some, it will be a day where their life is changed forever. And for those who are believers, it will be a day of beholding. A day where we behold the work that Jesus did on the cross. The day that the very world we live in changed forever. And I cannot imagine that John would have said these 13 words in any reserved or introverted manner, you know, not just nonchalantly, oh, look, it's Jesus. But actually, he said, Behold. He used the word behold. He said, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he could have used any word in that moment as an introduction. Could have said, Aha, or look. But he said, Behold. The Lamb of God. And the Webster's dictionary of the meaning of the word behold means to gaze upon. It's a verb that means to call to attention. And in this moment, John wasn't just making an announcement, but he was drawing all attention to Jesus, saying to those around him, and the crazy thing is, he did it in such a way that even his own followers and disciples left him to follow Jesus. That he said it in such a way that all eyes was fixed on Jesus. And my heart this morning is that our eyes would be fixed on him this morning. That we would behold the Lamb of God this morning. That yes, it is a day we remember his death, but we don't remember his death in sorrow. We remember his death with rejoicing. That this is the day that everything changed. That we would look at the cross in awe, that our hearts and our attention would be gripped by gratitude as we behold. My prayer is that we would see the love and the glory of our God revealed through Jesus. That our eyes would be fixed on Him. That our hearts would be drawn to Him. And that even our hearts would be given to Him afresh this morning. And when we look at the words of John, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, we see that the purpose was revealed from the start. It wasn't a surprise. It wasn't just this announcement that he kept back, but the purpose was revealed from the start. And you would almost imagine that John would, when writing this, that he would almost let the plot thicken a bit, you know, like a good story. Just let Jesus do some miracles, cast out demons, set people free, all these things, and then say, this is the Lamb of God. But here he reveals the purpose from the start. When Jesus arrives, he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And it was no surprise to him seeing Jesus standing there. He wasn't surprised by it. And that's why I said, behold, behold him, the Lamb of God. And he wanted those around him to know that this was the time that everything would change. That this wasn't just an accident, or that this wasn't just by chance that this happened, but he was pointing to the fact that this is what needed to happen, that this is what God had promised, that this was the time for at least 300 prophecies to be fulfilled. When Jesus arrived, he wanted those around him to know that this is why he is here. That this is why we behold him. He wanted those around him to know who Jesus was. And you can imagine with Jesus standing there, John making this announcement, behold the Lamb of God. It wasn't a surprise for Jesus as well. He knew what John was speaking about when he said, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He knew that he had come through the will of the Father. He knew that about what John was speaking about. That this was the ultimate purpose of his ministry. And it's actually amazing to see that in his time on earth, Jesus actually spoke of this. He spoke of his own death. 3 times he foretold his death to his disciples. And if you read the Synoptic Gospels, that is Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it's recorded 3 times in each gospel. And I want to look at those recorded in the book of Mark. And the first time we see in the book of Mark from chapter 8 and verse 31, it says, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. The second time, as in Mark 9, verse 30 to 31. And it says, they went on from there and passed through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise. And the third time, in the book of Mark, in chapter 10, from verse 32, it says, and in taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, see, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him, spit upon him, flog him, and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise. And Jesus knew that this is why the Father had sent him. And you can imagine that while prophesying this, it's incredible because while being on earth, he was fully man. And imagine prophesying and foretelling your own death, knowing that the worst suffering known to man was to come. And here with confidence, he's saying this to his disciples 3 times. The Son of Man will be crucified and will rise again on the third day. The Son of Man will be crucified and rise again on the third day. You can just imagine that emotion in him. I mean, being man, yes. What that must have been like. Knowing from the start that this is why the Father sent him. He knew that the cross would be God's plan of salvation. It would be God's way to take away the sins of the world. And it had to be Jesus. It had to be the Lamb of God. No one else. And the incredible thing is that Jesus knew this. He knew that it had to be the Lamb of God. He knew that he had to be the one, that there could not be anyone else that could take his place on that cross. That this was the plan of the Father to restore his creation back to him when sin came into the world. And the reason I say this, before I go to that, we see that God had made this promise in the book of Genesis. He made this promise in Genesis 3 verse 15. It speaks about the fall. And it's here where God promises he would send a Savior to defeat the serpent. And we read there, it says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And when Adam and Eve were banished from the garden, and sin came into the world, the only thing that man could do to show their repentance and faith to God was to offer up innocent lambs as a sacrifice in order to find favor and forgiveness before God. That's the only thing that man could do when sin came into the world. And the reason I say that when God had sent Jesus, that it had to be the Lamb of God, is because for so long, man gave the sacrifice and the offering. But God's plan was fully fulfilled when it was God Himself that gave the sacrifice. When it was God Himself that provided the spotless and blameless Lamb that would atone for all the sins of the world. That's why it had to be the Lamb of God. It's amazing just how simple it is that for so long man gave this. But when God gave, it was fulfilled. It was perfect. It was paid for in full. It was a sacrifice only God could give. And I love what the Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 21. It says, for our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It had to be the blameless, spotless Lamb of God, the perfect Son of God that could fulfill this perfect requirement. It had to be perfect. It couldn't have been 95%. It had to be perfect all the way through. So that's why God sent His perfect Son, who was without sin, blameless, a passionate love for His Father and for His Father's people. And in the beginning, we looked at the words that John spoke when he said, behold, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world. A few years later from when John had first made that statement, the world would now behold the Lamb of God. Very different from when they first saw Him. They would now behold Him hanging on a cross, captured, betrayed, mocked. They would now see Him with nails driven through His wrists and His feet, crushing through bone and tissue, with no way of pulling Himself up or pushing Himself up. There was actually a medical study that was done by a doctor with a crucifixion that showed that when a person was crucified, they could only inhale air, but not exhale. The world would now behold the Lamb of God, beaten, bruised, beyond recognition. Hours of limitless pain. And at the end of it all, exhausted from carrying His cross up the hill, from all the lashing, the whipping, the mocking, exhausted, a crown of thorns on His head. At the end of it all, moments from His death, He found strength to say these words, it is finished. It is finished. And in that moment when Jesus said, it is finished, the Lamb of God had become the perfect sacrifice that would take away the sins of the world. He had become the perfect Lamb. That perfect sacrifice. In that moment, it was a shout of victory. In that moment, He said, it is finished. He said, Father, I have completed the work you gave me. I have loved your people. I have served your people. And I have come so that they may be restored back to you. That is what he said when he said, it is finished. He didn't say, I'm dead now. He said, it is finished, Father. They are yours again. There is no separation anymore. And what that means for us sitting here, when Jesus spoke those words, it is finished. He said that the sins are wiped out. That your price has been paid for in full. And the Bible in the book of Romans makes this comparison between Adam and Jesus. And we read in Romans chapter 5 from verse 18, where it says, therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by one man's disobedience, speaking of Adam, the many were made sinners. And so by the one man's obedience, speaking of Jesus, the many will be made righteous. Jesus didn't just come to fulfill prophecies. He did not just come to perform miracles. But he came so that with his death on the cross, the penalty, the power, and the presence of sin would be removed in our lives. He came so that those who say, I believe in him, will be made righteous before the Father. He came to fulfill the perfect plan of salvation created by a perfect God through the death of his Son. That is what this means for us sitting here. Is that God, out of love, sent his Son to die on a cross. And Jesus, in love and obedience to the Father, gave up his life. And I came across this quote by Charles Spurgeon. This little piece that he wrote, and I want to read this for us. And he wrote and he said that Jesus has borne the death penalty on our behalf. Behold the wonder. There he hangs upon a cross. This is the greatest sight you will ever see. Son of God and Son of Man. There he hangs, bearing pains unutterable. The just for the unjust, to bring us to God. Oh, the glory of that sight. The innocent punished, the Holy One condemned, the ever-blessed made a curse, the infinitely glorious put to a shameful death. The more I look at the sufferings of the Son of God, the more sure I am that they must meet my case. Why did he suffer if not to turn aside the penalty from us? If then he turned it aside by his death, it is turned aside. And those who believe in him need not fear it. That when Jesus said, it is finished, he said, those who believe need not fear death. From the very beginning when he came, it wasn't an arm wrestle against death. It was a victory that had been won already. The world just had to behold that. They just had to see that the victory had been won, that a man had come and paid for the price of sinners. And yesterday, 4 years ago, my dad passed away. And I remember the story when my sister and I first spoke about it. When she said, sitting on his bed at home with my mom, very tired from his operation, not the same man. He said these words to her. He said to her, I'm going home. And for us in that moment, we knew that he had reconciled with God. That he gave everything over to them. And to my mom, it felt like, but why are you saying this? You are home. You're probably just in a car from the operation. But he knew where he was going. He knew that he was going home, that he was in that moment going to behold that what we are living for on earth. So that's why Jesus said, when he said, it is finished, he said, need not fear death. For if you believe, you will have life and have it abundantly. If you believe, you will have eternity with me. And I love what Jesus said. He said that the only way to the Father is through Him. The only way to the Father is through Him. Because the sacrifice which Jesus made is the only way for salvation. It's the perfect plan. It's the only way that we can have life. And the Bible in the book of John says that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in Him may have eternal life. And later on in verse 17 it says, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but it's so that the world might be saved through Him. Through Jesus. That is what this means for us. That is what the cross means for us. And that when John said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, there's this excitement. Behold, salvation has come. Hope is here. Eternity is here. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.